We chose the time of year when people eat a lot to introduce a new segment on food and its consumption. Savor is the name we've applied to our food segment, and we brought in food stylist Will Smith to help us host it. Will knows food and food makers very well, and if you're wondering about the term food stylist, yes, he makes food pretty for pictures. This month, the second edition of Savor, Will sent us a bunch of pretty pictures of cabbage and its many uses. Cabbage and its fermentation are the focus of the business of Pickled Planet, based in Ashland. Cortland Jennings, the CEO, is expected to join us momentarily, but here's Will Smith right now.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. So is this the time of year? I mean, since so much food is getting slung around this time of year, well, this must be a busy time for you.
Yeah, well, actually isn't, because we shot Christmas in July.
Of course.
So I'm a little ahead of you. But no, I wanted to sort of each month sort of focus on something that's readily available, something that's inexpensive, something that's easy to prepare. So this December, I decided to do cabbage, and it's sort of the ugly duckling vegetable, but it really is considered a staple, and it is eaten in almost every continent on the planet for millennia, which I think is a really cool thing to sort of rediscover something that's always been right under our noses.
Talk about your heritage foods. This is a major one. Huh?
Well, so it's amazing. So imagine Mexico, tacos and soup, Poland and Hungary, stuffed cabbage, sauerkraut in Scandinavian countries, German countries. And the way that I actually like to use it the most is raw. It's sort of an underutilized green that you can use in a multitude of salads, like I said, soups. It's one of those rare vegetables that you can actually steam, stew, braise, eat it raw, and also pickled and fermented. So it's like a powerhouse to me.
I think a lot of people, first of all, does it have a bad rap, would you say? Is it because, I mean, it seems like when somebody mentions cabbage, first of all, it's mentioned either in conjunction with St. Patrick's Day or with flatulence.
No, exactly. And it really has to do with how long you cook it. And I, for one, again, and maybe I'm not using the full bounty of it, but I really like it raw, and you have less of that incidence.
Okay. So raw is better for digestion?
Yes. The sort of sulfury compounds come with overcooking. So the longer that you cook it, the more sulfur is sort of put off.
And I should point out that, you know, anybody who has ever had an underdressed coleslaw, for example, knows the fact that cabbage by itself, though, has a fairly sweet flavor to it.
It's one of my all-time favorites. And again, that sort of like mixing into soups and salads is just such an easy thing to do.
Cortland Jennings has arrived. He is the CEO of Pickled Planet. We'll get him situated in the seat and up to a microphone as we continue to talk to Will Smith here on Savor about cabbage generally. But is this something you've always had in your diet, or was it something you, like a lot of Americans, discovered later?
So funny family story is that my mom lived in Hawaii in the 50s. She was in nurse's training, and she really got hooked on kimchi. And so fast forward many decades, my father says the reason that he divorced my mother was because she had a jar of kimchi in the refrigerator at all times, which I'm sure Cortland does as well. So I always loved that sort of sour, fermented deliciousness, even as a child. And now I'm enjoying it still. So, yeah, it's definitely a long family history of fermented cabbage.
I'm glad you brought up a kimchi story. It seems like everybody has a kimchi story.
So,
somebody brought some into the station a few years ago when we were much smaller quarters, and I opened it up in the newsroom, which was, you know,
everyone
basically
will know,
a shoebox. Yeah. The producer said, "Oh my God, what is that? Take it home."
So delicious, though. So then going to that sort of the way that I use mostly as a salad green, I did and wrote a recipe, and I think it's available somewhere online, maybe on your Facebook page, is a really easy Asian slaw. Purple cabbage, green cabbage, cilantro, peanut, a little dressing of ginger, sesame oil, and serrano chilies. And it's excellent. So I have a sample of that as well.
Oh, I see the little plates in front of us. Okay, this looks like fun coming up. This is our food segment called Savor here on the Jefferson Exchange with Will Smith, our regular guest. He's a food stylist. So as you heard, he basically poses food for pictures, but knows a lot about preparing it and presenting it as well. And we also have with us Cortland Jennings, the CEO of Pickled Planet based in Ashland. You can join the conversation at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Cortland Jennings, welcome.
Yeah, thanks. It's good to be here.
So apparently you started getting interested in nutrition at an early age. What was going on there?
Yeah, well, I kind of had a health issue when I was about 8 or 9. I was hyperactive. It's the sort of thing that, you know, lots of kids had. Lots of kids still have. Now it's over-medicated. But I was put on Ritalin for, 6 months. And my dad was like, what's up with this? You know, like, what, you're on Ritalin, like, this is silly. Like, we should figure out what's really wrong with you, if there's some other way we can fix it. So I ended up getting a blood test at age, 9, and went to a naturopath, which in New Jersey was pretty hard to find. But somehow my dad found one. And my dad was pretty square, too, which was pretty interesting that he even, sought this course of action. But then, the naturopath was like, oh, you have too much sugar in your blood. Your pancreas is overstimulated. Like, da-da-da-da, you could become a diabetic. She's like, this is what you should do. Change your diet, you know?
And at 9 years old, is this not something you wanted to hear?
At 9 years old, I was like, wow. Well, I don't know. I was already sort of pretty self-empowered because I had a stuttering problem when I was younger than that, and I had to get through that. So then suddenly I've got this thing, and I'm like, well, I don't want to become a diabetic, so what do I need to do? And my dad's like, well, son, you know, the rest of the family's going to eat what we eat, and we're not really going to help you. You know, we'll buy your food for you, and we'll, but people are still going to eat sugar around you, you know, like.
So I'm only laughing because I'm getting a real New Jersey vibe, but it's like, forget about us changing our diets, you know?
Right. I mean, well, is this the sort of thing where what can you do? Not the whole family wasn't going to comply to my diet, mm-hmm. you know? And my dad wasn't, he was like quite clear that, well, I'm not going to police you. I'm not going to like, hey, that's a candy bar, you know, like, I don't want to go there with you, son. So, you know.
So then where did you go? What did you consider for dietary changes? What were the things you latched
onto?
Well,
so the naturopath was like, you have to stop eating sugar and like refined sugar, like fruit was fine, you know? And I had to stop eating white, like bleached flour and white flour, and had to eat like whole wheat, basically. Mm-hmm. It was pretty simple, but you know, in New Jersey at age 9, whole wheat bread, I actually had to go to a health food store to even find it. Early age, anyway, I was empowered as like food is medicine. You know, food can change your life.
And then, at what point did fermentation and cabbage and all that stuff come into the picture?
Well, so fermentation started with bread. In high school, I was helping my stepmom with sourdough bread. I just took an interest to it, and that just continued. You know, once I was out of high school, I started brewing beer and kept making the bread for friends and turning them onto it and. You know, it's just one of these like random passions I linked onto at an early age.
And so what's going on in fermenting? This is essentially you're asking for help from other members of the animal kingdom here, right?
Yeah, from the very tiny animal kingdom, exactly. Yeah, they eat sugars, and they convert it into various organic acids and enzymes, and of course they multiply as well. So.
And the things they lead to can be things like alcohol. I mean, that is a fermentation process
sure.
as well.
That's yeast. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of what I work with is in the bacterial kingdom more than the yeast kingdom. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's all fermentation.
All fermented things are considered pickles, but not all pickles are fermented. Correct.
Correct.
Yeah.
Well, not all fermented things are considered pickles because
okay,
you know
right.
beer is not
exactly.
a pickle, right?
Right.
But all pickles are pickles, and not all pickles are fermented.
Exactly.
Because you can basically have a pickle made with vinegar mixture that gives a very similar flavor that the organic acids that the fermentation create. That's really what you're going for with the pickle flavor is that organic acid content. And so, you know, vinegar provides it as well as the bacterial fermentation.
So there are things, obviously, cabbage is the major subject, the overall subject here on this edition of Savor, our food segment with Will Smith, Cortland Jennings from Pickled Planet is our guest here. So there are things in cabbage that make it, with or without pickling or fermentation, some it's a pretty good thing for the body.
Okay, it's a powerhouse, very high in vitamin C, very high in vitamin K, vitamin A, and then, of course, fiber. And the thing that I really love about it is, especially for a family, it's a great way to extend a meal or, you know, multiply volume on the soup or sides. And it's cheaper than cheap, and it stays, you know, wrap it up, it stays in your fridge for a long time.
It really does. I mean, this is one of the things you actually harvest through the winter.
It's actually,
right?
To me, it's a really great food because you get to use all of it, and it's inexpensive. It's great.
Nothing left when you're done with the cabbage?
No, I love it. One of my favorite things.
I mean, you can dice up the core even. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Throw it in there. It's like there's zero waste.
So what's in the core? Is it a pretty tough area in there, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, usually it's not woody. It's just sometimes it's a little bitter if the cabbage got hot, but it's not, you know, it's not like the bottom, the base of a broccoli root, of a broccoli stem where it's like really fibrous. You know, obviously the part that goes down into the root is going to be fibrous, but the part that's in, you know, left over in the store is like totally edible.
So that's interesting what you just said, though, but as long as the cabbage didn't get hot, is this not a good thing to happen? Will is already, before he got in the room, Will was talking about people who overcook cabbage.
Well, growing
get
conditions.
Get these sulfurous conditions that arise from that. But
I was speaking more of growing conditions. Mm-hmm. So if cabbage is hot while it's growing, like say it gets up into the 80, 90 degrees, then it gets a little more bitter, you know, and when it gets cold, it gets sweeter.
Yeah, which is why December... cabbage.
December's good time for cabbage. Okay.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you can still pull it out of the ground at this point? I mean, is it still sitting there covered up? And
There's a lot of, you know, overwinter varieties of cabbage that you can just leave in the field until, you know, you're ready to harvest them. It can be the dead of winter, and it can freeze rock solid, and you can cut it off the stem and, you know, let it thaw, and it'll be fine. In fact, even after it's already been harvested, it can freeze rock solid, and it'll thaw out and be fine.
Oh, fascinating.
Really?
Yeah.
So then what moved you from you mentioned fermentation of bread first with sourdough and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so where did things go beyond there that led you to what became Pickled Planet?
Well, you know, I was a hobby fermenter, you know, all through the 90s. It's just kind of one of those things that I did. I would, you know, every time I'd move, I'd kind of, you know, like many people in their 20s, I'd move often. And so whenever I'd move to the next place, I'd bring my little starters and ferments and whatever with me, and there I'd start again. And, you know, at first it was just what was easy. What could I do that I could have on my counter, you know, that was healthy and easy to do? So a lot of them were like water-based ferments, like kombucha and beer and like water. I call it sprout water. Mm-hmm. Some people call it Rejuvelac. It's basically where you take like sprouted grains and like soak them with water for 24 hours. And that similar kind of fermentation process there.
With cabbage is one of the easiest things to do fermentation on, isn't it? I mean, I remember reading a number of things.
Yeah, it's just a lot of work physically to prepare the medium, whereas like liquid mediums are fairly easy to prepare. So, you know, once I got into like, you know, eating really well-made sauerkraut, I was like, wow, this is amazing. I'm going to start doing this too. But that wasn't until about 99, 2000 that someone turned me on to really good homemade sauerkraut.
Can you do, I mean, I remember reading that, you know, you can do a fairly simple fermentation with basically cabbage leaves, water, and salt, and then just make sure everything stays underwater.
Yeah, yeah. It all needs to be submerged because it's an anaerobic bacteria that you're looking to proliferate, so it doesn't like oxygen.
So is that sauerkraut that'll result from just water, salt, and cabbage?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's it. Takes about, 2 weeks minimum to get it sour, and 4 weeks if you want to have the really healthy sauerkraut.
And how many different products are you actually selling?
Pickle Planet has probably about 13 or 14 different products. Most of them are cabbage and sauerkraut based, but we do have four in the sort of like fermented pickle family.
Sure. So good.
Green beans, and we do a taqueria mix. It's like jicama and onion and, you know, what you get at the taco stand. And then we have something that I worked on for years that I really wanted to perfect, which was pickled garlic cloves, like just whole cloves. Mm-hmm. And it took me years to figure out how to do it in a fashion that I could bring to market. And I've done it now, though. I have fermented garlic cloves, and they're really, they don't taste like raw garlic at all. They're like beyond.
So they don't have that hotness that
could. No, yeah, that heat is gone, but a lot of the flavor is still there. And you can cook with them, too. You can just take them out of the jar and chop them up. And of course, it acts differently in cooking than fresh garlic does, but.
So were there a bunch of mad scientist experiments that led to the perfection of
it was mostly a time thing, you know. It took a long time to do it for it to become quiet enough to be palatable, and I just figured out ways to speed it up.
Did you see that Portlandia episode? It must have been, what, 4 or 5 years ago now, the Week in Pickle that?
I get a lot of references to that.
I'm sure you do. Can you pickle just about anything?
Pretty much. Pretty much any vegetable you want to put into a liquid brine of salt and water and spices is going to, you give it time, it's gonna turn into a pickle.
So are there things for the people who are listening thinking, well, shoot, this sounds easy as all get out. I'm going to do some fermentation of my own. I ask this question a lot of people who do provide fermentation as a subject matter, is whether things can go wrong, whether there are things you need to watch out for. It's like, that doesn't smell right. I probably shouldn't eat that. Are there circumstances like that?
Oh yeah, for sure. Definitely let your nose be your guide. You know, if you're out there fermenting and you're having fun with whatever you're doing and it like doesn't smell right, or it's a little bit like slimy, it didn't work out, you know. So don't eat it if you don't, you know, if it's not like a solid vegetable, like
this
smells
why I
proper.
I have several jars of Pickle Planet in my refrigerator right now. Uh-huh. So I don't have that problem.
Right. Oh,
have you done your own fermentation, Will?
No, but you know, I've always wanted to, but I feel like you need like a room to work in to do it, which I don't have. I have a super tiny house.
It'll definitely make your house smell like pickles.
I know,
really
exactly.
Quickly. I mean, me just coming home from work, just even in the office, and my partner, she was always like, oh, you know, you have to get out of those clothes. Like the whole house smells like pickles, you know, just walking in the door, you know. Mm-hmm. My bookkeeper, she comes once a week, and she sits in a hard plastic chair because she doesn't want to sit in a softer chair that might have more of the pickle smell absorbed, and she has clothes that she wears only to Pickle Planet to do bookkeeping.
She leaves them there or something?
No, no, no. She changes into them. All right. She goes there, then gets out of them when she leaves.
Okay. So there's the odor of Pickled Planet, where Cortland Jennings is the CEO. Will Smith is our regular guest for our food segment, Savor. He's a food stylist in the region. You can join the conversation on The Exchange. You got questions about pickling, about fermentation, about food in general? You can join us here at The Exchange at 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Email from Rebecca in Lane County. She wants to know if there's a problem if a little of the cabbage gets above the liquid line when making kraut.
Well, Rebecca, it's not really a huge problem as long as you tuck it back down underneath there. You know, most of what you're fermenting is going to be fine. That little piece that's above the liquid, it might end up getting a little soft. You might want to just cut it off. You know, for the most part, it's not going to affect what is underneath.
So one thing that I wanted to talk just a second about is just what sort of nutritional benefit that you get from eating a fermented pickle versus a straight vinegar pickle.
Sure, yeah. So, well, the straight vinegar pickle is going to give you a little bit of digestive benefit because of the acetic acid that's in the vinegar. So you're going to get a little bit of, like, it's going to help break down some of what you're eating, especially protein. But with a fermented pickle, you get that benefit, right? So you get a nutrition that is more, you know, readily available because you're breaking it down a lot faster, right? And then you also have the ongoing benefit of eating a fermented pickle. If you eat it every day, you're re-inoculating your gut with these really healthy lactic acid secreting bacteria. And they populate the walls of your small intestine. So they end up actually giving you a defense mechanism against unwanted molecules or pathogens into your bloodstream.
That is the reason I have heard most often people give for eating fermented foods, is that it's really good for your gut bacteria, your microbiome, and encourages the good things that you want to live in your gut to live there.
Yeah, you're actually putting them in there by eating them. You know, there's prebiotic foods, things like fiber, lots of roughage. They really help help your healthy gut bacteria to continue being there. But when you actually eat fermented foods, you're actually just continually re-inoculating yourself.
That's a good point. There is no spontaneous generation. We should have learned that in science years ago. You have to put the good bacteria there.
Yeah, you really do. I mean, because they do die off in performing their functions.
Well, and I love that he also mentions it's something that you have to do a little bit each day. It's really, consider it like a medicine. It's excellent for you.
Yeah, it's just like taking vitamins. You don't take them once a week or once a month and think you're going to get benefit from it.
Right.
So at this point in your life, Cortland Jennings, is fermented food most of your diet? All of your diet?
Oh, I mean, I have it with every meal pretty much. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I eat rice. I eat beans. I eat salad. You know, I occasionally eat meat. I am mostly a vegetarian. Mm-hmm. But I do have fermented foods with pretty much every meal, aside from my smoothie.
And have you stayed away from the white sugar and the white flour and the stuff that you were urged to stay away from at age 9?
Well, you know, so that's not something I really had to do for my entire life. I was able to go back to eating sugar when I was in high school. You know, I'd sort of worked my way through the curve, but my sweet tooth never came back quite the same, you know, as it was when I was a little kid, you know, fisting, you know, candy bars or whatever, right. Washing it down with a soda.
Right.
Should we pass the cabbage around here, Wilson?
Sure, yeah. Take a taste. Can you give me a review?
Okay. And this is called what again?
So that's just a super easy Asian slaw. Three different kinds of cabbage. Has some radish, serrano. But I just love it. Both winter and spring, it's just fresh and sharp. And I don't know, I really like it.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really love it. I love the way the nuts counteract with the acid from the vinegar.
Right.
Mm, that's a good crunch, yeah, with the nuts and the radish.
Super simple. I did that this morning.
Wow. So by super simple, this is what, like a 15-minute job?
Yes. Yeah.
Really?
No, totally, yeah. The most complicated thing is there's a lot of ingredients in the dressing, mm-hmm. but other than that, it's a piece of cake.
Okay, we'll make sure we get the recipe up on the website. We're down to our last minute. Any final thoughts from you, Will, as we close out a second edition of Savor?
I'm excited to be here. And, you know, if a listener has an idea of a focus of a show that I can study on, I'd be happy to, if anybody has an idea.
Okay, so we did the pickling and the cabbage this month, and I had good help from. Wow, there's a nice burn it that comes after that, isn't there?
Yeah, it's a really tasty slaw, Will.
Yeah, thanks.
And thanks for having me. I appreciate you reaching out and looking me up.
Yep.
Cortland Jennings, president and CEO of Pickled Planet. How old is the business now?
15 years here in Ashland.
Mm-hmm. Going strong?
Going strong.
Yeah.
Okay, good to have you both here. Will Smith, we'll have back next month for next month's edition of Savor. Cortland Jennings, thanks so much for joining us to talk about Pickled Planet, and best of luck with your endeavors.